فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صلوات الله. The theme that I selected for these three khushalis is to do with the family life, especially concentrating on the roles and duties of the husband and the wife. When we look at the three personalities that we celebrate during this time, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Hazrat Abbas, and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wa salam, there is a symbolic link that all of them are important figures in the events of Karbala. Hussein, Abbas, and Imam Sajjad. And the events of Karbala itself for us is a symbol of the strong bond in the family of Ahlul Bayt. You know, this is actually a base of support for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that the majority of the male members of the family were there with him in Karbala. This itself shows the strong, you know, concept of silatul rahim in the family life as far as Islam is concerned. The ayat on which I had been, you know, focusing in these two nights, and I would like to conclude tonight, is actually just first part of ayat number 34 from Surah An-Nisa. And let me summarize before I continue that when we look at the ayat, we see that based on an almost obvious psychological principle of need for leadership in any social unit, big or small, Islam also has given importance that within the family circle, the position of leadership has been given to the husband. Ar-rijal qawwamun 'ala an-nisa. Here, rijal, according to the understanding of the context, is not men in general, it refers to the husbands, are those who are qayyim and responsible for the wives. And this is a position not necessarily of honor and privilege, this is a position of duty and responsibility that they have towards the wife and the family. And the reason why Islam has separated the roles in the family between husband and wife is because of the obvious reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain advantages to the man and certain advantages to the woman. Obviously, the biological difference as far as the process of motherhood is concerned, you know, Islam takes that very seriously. And therefore, the mother is relieved from the burden of providing for the family, and the burden is put on the husband. However, that doesn't mean that the wife does not maintain her individuality and her personality. We talked about it, about some of the subtle ways things are changed. And as if emphasizing that point, after saying that الرجال قوامون على النساء, and the two reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for that, then he says, فَالصَّالِحَاتِ, that the wives have this potential of becoming righteous individuals, صالح. And this is where we see that there is no difference in becoming righteous between male and female. It's nothing to do with family life as such as the positions in the family. Of course, when it comes to the other, you know, words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for the wives, he says, as-fasalihat qanitat, obedient. Obviously, when you have a situation where one is considered to be the leader, who has been given the responsibility of maintaining the family and making final decisions, you know, the others, even if it is the deputy, you know, leader of the family, there has to be the sense of following and obeying. However, this obedience has been limited to only two cases, and I talked about it last night. And I ended with the emphasis that family life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in this ayat from Surah An-Nur, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, where you can get sukoon in that relationship, cannot be attained only by looking at the shari'i legal dimension of Islamic teachings. You will have to combine the sharia and the akhlaq together, fiqh and akhlaq together. This is where some of the people miss out this connection, and there are problems in the families as well as in the perspective of some of the people when they look at Islam. They just look at, you know, the strict shari'i fiqhi rulings and ignore the akhlaqi rulings that Islam has given, especially the concept of muwadda and rahma. You will not see part of fiqhi discussion when they talk about family life. They don't mention rahma and muwadda, because rahma and muwadda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that in the takween, creation of the human beings. When the marriage takes place, these sentiments are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The husband and a wife have to maintain it, strengthen it by, you know, working on this sentiments of muwadda and rahma. When we talk about aqb, you know, some people say, oh, you know, one of the problems Islam has is that when they recite aqd, it means this is a transaction, buying and selling, na'uzu billah. Either it's ignorance or it is done with knowledge but to create fitna. Aqd, yes, in the business transaction between the buyer and the seller, we say aqd. In nikah also we call it aqd, but this is not the same. This is not a business agreement. This is actually mithaq. It is a sacred covenant of living together as husband and wife in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so just don't look at the words in Arabic. You know, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, when a man marries a woman, he should say, not necessarily in words or have this concept in mind, أَقْرَرْتُ بِمِسَاقِ الَّذِي أَخَذَ اللَّهِ. By getting into this relationship, I am acknowledging the mithaq, the covenant that I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm getting into this. The wife will be an amanat. And I only had two choices, imsakun bima'roof aw tasrihun bi'ihsan. Imam uses these words from the Quran. Either you maintain her with goodness, but if things don't work, then let her go with goodness and generosity. There is no middle situation of oppressing the wife or keeping her hanging. And this is the misaq that, you know, the couple make, the sacred covenant in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon the Akbar. Let me now continue with that first part of this ayat number 34 of Surah An-Nisa, where after saying, describing the wives, he says, فَالصَّالِحَاتِ, the good ones, the righteous ones. Qanitat was the first, that they obey the leader in the areas where obedience is required. And then he says, حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. Where the normal translation given is that they are protecting in the absence of their husbands what Allah has enjoined on them to protect. What is it? What does this ayat want to say? That the wife has a duty of protecting certain things in the absence of the husband. When you look at the tafasir of Ahlul Bayt and the Shia ulama who rely on that, there are three things which are being mentioned here. Because we have to realize that, you know, husband has been given the task of providing for the wife and the children. And the wife is expected, not by the shari'i, tashri'i perspective, but takweeni perspective that I talked about, by the creation that Allah has in the woman as far as her sentiments and emotion is concerned, out of her sense of love, she basically manages the house. And with that comes the responsibility of maintaining some of the interests of the husband in his absence. Now, what are those issues? Number one, the most important one, that in the absence of the husband, the wife has to protect her own honor. Because the honor of the wife, by extension, is the honor of the husband. In a way, that's an amanat, that she is now not just an individual, she is a wife. She is wife of someone. Her izzat, her honor, you know, basically her dignity is now linked to the honor and izzat and dignity of the husband. So she does that not only for herself, but by extension protecting the honor and dignity of the husband. As a wife, she is, you know, she has to realize that when it comes to the zinat that Allah has given to her, this is for the husband. This is not for, you know, public display, especially in the gatherings of non-mahrams. And so the first thing that a wife is expected in this ayat to protect in the absence of the husband is that she has to maintain her modesty in clothing as well as interaction with people when the husband is not there. Whether away from that place or out of town, doesn't matter. Ghaib. This is what, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term, حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتْ مَنَيْكْ بَلَعَوْا. Another dimension of this statement, حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ, refers to the money and property of the husband. The expectation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that now she is managing out of her own willingness to take care of the family and the house, then she has that amanat with her. She has to protect the wealth of the husband in his presence. And let me, you know, talk about this a little bit more in detail, because sometimes things end up in conflict because of that. I'd emphasized the night before and even last night that marriage doesn't mean that the wife loses her individuality and her personality. No. She still is a mu'minah, a muslimah, has the potential of growing in spiritual path, and she is ultimately responsible for her own actions in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The husband will not be there in the qabr. The husband will not be there to answer on her behalf on the day of judgment. So her individuality, her insaniyat, you know, her personality is still there. Marriage does not diminish that. Similarly, we have to realize that even the husband, by getting married, is not losing his personality and individuality. Sometimes, you know, the expectations are unrealistic. And I'm talking on basis of the observation of so many years, dealing with the issues of the community, not only here, in different parts of North America. You see, when the new bride comes in, remember, honeymoon is a honeymoon. Doesn't last forever. The expectation sometimes becomes unrealistic. The expectation is that now that we have got married, I need your total and exclusive attention. You have to forget your parents and your siblings. And this is an expectation which is unrealistic. Doesn't work. This is where we have to realize marriage is not an exclusive relationship being formed with exclusion of others. You have two families, of the husband and the wife, two circles there. A new circle is being formed. But this new circle is actually partially linked with one on the right side and with the other on the left side. Both spouses have to basically maintain that balance. Just as I said that the wife does not lose her personality, you can't say, okay, now your parents are not your parents, my parents are your parents. No, that doesn't happen. Similarly, you know, problems are both sides, not only men all the time. The expectation are that, okay, now, you know, you're married to me, I'm your first responsibility. Yes, legally that is true, but not at the exclusion of the relationship and the silatul rahim and the responsibility that the husband has towards the parents and other members of the family. And this is something which this link has to be maintained. Sometimes this link, silatul rahim, on the side of the husband would be expressed by his willingness to financially support the parents, and occasionally even the other members of the family. And that is where the dispute starts. If the husband is fulfilling the duty of providing for the necessities of the wife and whatever she needs, then the wife should have no problem in respecting the individuality of the husband if he is using his money and wealth to support the parents or other relatives from time to time. If he is depriving her of her haq, then the most that she can demand and complain is that you have to fulfill my duty. Even in that latter case, she cannot say you don't help others in the family. Her demand and complaint can only be about herself. And this is something, you know, we have to realize on both sides, because sometimes issues really get out of hand and sometimes they are not even reconcilable. And so this issue of harmony has to be there, concept of rahma and mawadda, realizing that the issue of silatul rahim, the linkage and the bond between the families on both sides are very important, and that cannot be ignored. Salawat Prana Ekbarar. It goes the other side also. If the wife is earning and she finds sometimes she needs to help her parents, the husband does not have actually a right to prohibit that to her, to his wife. If it's her earning, he has no haq on it. And this is where we have to realize everything should be based on the concept of rahma and mawadda. Let me, you know, share with you a very interesting, lengthy conversation that one of the companions had with our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. This is actually a psychological advice that Imam is giving to this fellow about how to deal with other people and maintain the relationships and friendship. Although the advice is of a general type, but we can focus and use that same formula and the solution when we talk about relationship between the family. And this is a narration from our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the Ravi, he is the narrator. He says, one day a fellow by the name of Muhammad bin Muslim al-Zuhri was known to be someone like a Sufi type those days. And he came, he says, one day he came to my father, وَهُوَ كَثِيبٌ حَزِينٌ, with a very sad face. And Imam looked at him and Imam said, مَا بَالَكَ مَغْمُومٌ, O Zuhri, what happened to you? Why you look so sad, depressed? And he says, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ هُمُومٌ وَغُمُومٌ, O the son of the Prophet, yes, I have غم and هم. You know, I'm sad and I have issues and concerns. تطوال علي. He says, you know, I have been actually tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by those who are jealous of what I have been given by Allah, and those who have this eyes on my wealth, and even those whom I actually hope to be good to me, and even those whom I have been charitable towards them. All these things happen, but at the end, our friendship doesn't, you know, last. And so this is my ham and gham, my, you know, sorrow and concern. So Imam mentioned something initially as a brief statement where he says, احفظ عليك بلسانك. Most of the problems start with lisan. Imam says, control your tongue. تملك به إخوانك. Control your tongue. If you are able to control what you say and how you say it, you will be able to maintain your friends. But then Imam says something, this is for us, for everyone in any situation, especially in husband-wife relationship. He says, يا زهري أما عليك أن تجعل المسلمين منك بمنزلة أهل بيتك. Imam says, O Zuhri, you should consider the people that you interact with as members of your family. Then look at them. فَتَجْعَلْ كَبِيرُهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَالِدِ. If you see somebody who is older than you, then put him in the place of your father, in your mind. وَتَجْعَلْ صَغِيرُهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَلَدِكَ. If he is younger than you, then put him in the place of your son. وَتَجْعَلْ تِرُبُكَ. And if they are of same, you know, age as you, then put him in the place of your brother. If you look at people from that perspective, Imam says, فَأَيُّ هَؤُلَاءِ تُحِبُّ أَن تَظْلِمْ. Whom among them will you be unjust to? وَأَيُّ هَؤُلَاءِ تُحِبُّ أَن تَدُوْ عَلَيْهِ. Who among them would you do baddua for them? وَأَيُّ هَؤُلَاءِ تُحِبُّ أَن تَهْتِكُ سِتْرَهُ. And who among them is the one who would like to, that you would like to expose them because of their weaknesses? You wouldn't do that. Because now you are treating them like a father or a son or a brother. And this is where we come to the beauty of, you know, we don't really have to go here and there. Books on psychology and this and that. This is the psychology coming from the Imam. But then Imam says, if you start doing this, treating people this way, then remember there is another problem. Even when you do good things, there is always bala attached with it. He says, when you start doing this and you have good friends, shaitan comes to you and says, oh, you are very good. And once you start thinking this way, you might reverse this whole process. And so Imam says, وَإِنْ عَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ إِبْلِيسَ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَنَّ لَكَ فَضْلًا عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. But if you start becoming good and shaitan comes to you and plants this idea in your mind that you are better than everyone else, then Imam says, فَانْزُرْ. In order to reform yourself, amend your own attitude, Imam says, then look at those that you interact with. فَإِنْ كَانَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْكَ. If they are older than you, whom you put in the place of the father, and then you compare that person to yourself and you say, فَقُلْ قَدْ سَبَقَنِي بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. Well, this person is older than me. It means he lived as a mu'min longer than me. It means that he had more opportunity to do good deeds than me, because I'm younger than him. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي. Therefore, he is better than me. Remember Shaitan comparing himself to Adam, he says, Ana khayrun minhu. This is where Imam is saying, look at the older person and say, well, He has been a mu'min longer than you, had opportunities to do good more than you. Therefore, he is better than you. And this arrogance will go. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَصْغَرُ مِنْكَ But if the fellow is younger than you, Imam says, reverse the psychology here. Say to yourself, سَبَقْتُهُ بِالْمَعَاثِ وَالْظُنُوبِ I am older than him. I had more opportunity to commit sins. But he is younger than me. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي Therefore, he is better than me. وَإِنْ كَانَ تِرْبَكَ But if the fellow is of the same age as yours, then Imam says, say to yourself, أَنَا عَلَىٰ يَقِينٍ مِنْ ذَنْبِي I am absolutely sure about my own mistakes and sins that I have committed. وَفِي شَكٍ مِنْ عَمْرِهِ But I have doubts about what he does. I'm not sure about him. So why should I, you know, give prevalence to the shak over the yaqeen? And this is where I would say he is better than me. Imam says, when you do this, فَإِنَّكَ This is the fourth Imam's guarantee. فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ That if you do this, سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ عَيْشَكَ Allah will make your aish and your life good. وَكَثُرُ أَصْدِقَاؤُكَ Your friends will increase. وَفَرِحْتَ بِمَا يَكُونُ مِنْ بِرِّهِمْ You will be pleased with the goodness that comes from them to you. وَلَمْ تَأْسَفْ عَلَى مَا يَكُونَ مِنْ جَفَاتِهِمْ And if they are not good to you, still you will not care about it anymore. Salawat wa ta'ala. Take this spiritual prescription, prescription from the Imam. About interhuman relationship. Use it in any situation that you find yourself, especially in a family life. You know the new bride? She comes into the family. Well, look at the father-in-law. He doesn't replace your father, but consider him to be in the place of your father. The mother-in-law in the same way, the brother-in-law in the same way, the attitudes will change. The husband who is marrying a wife, when he looks at his own in-laws, same situation. Look at the father-in-law, place him in the place of your father. Respect him in that way. Respect the mother-in-law in that way. And this is where we will get the sukoon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed in the ayat from Surah Ar-Rum. Salawat wa ta'ala. The third dimension of this statement from the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ which refers to protecting. The wife is expected in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the owner of the husband in his absence. What do we mean by that? In human relationship, the way the husband and wife know one another, no other person in this world knows them. Because nothing is hidden. They live together. They know the character of one another inside out. And that is why, you know, when you look at the history of Islam, it is not only history that the first person to accept the message of Rasulullah was his wife. It's not the issue that she was the wife, but she is someone who knew the character of her husband inside out. The fact that Khadija became the first person to accept the message of Rasulullah is actually the biggest testimony in the favor of the character of Rasulullah. Because she knows him. She knows what he is outside, what he is inside. It's not that he is a good person in the public. And has a bad manners when he, you know, treats his family members. No. And this is where we have to realize that husband and wife are so close. And this closeness and familiarity with one another demands the issue of privacy, and it demands that they do not expose one another to the world. It's a very crucial element in the relationship of marriage. If you look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses very simple words. He doesn't use this bombastic, you know, psychological terminology that you re-explained. The Quran was revealed to the society which was illiterate, a society of Bedouins as well as the urbanite Arabs, and all understood the message very clearly. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the relationship, especially this aspect of the family life, He says, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna." Talking about husband and wife, He says, "You are libas for one another." Libas means garments, dress, clothing. What is the purpose of libas? It adorns a person. You don't just go outside naked. You don't feel like you are. You have to be presentable in the society. And so the zenith comes from the libas. Libas is also used to protect the body from extreme weathers. In winter, when you go, you should be covered properly. And libas also conceals the physical defects on the body. And if the clothing don't conceal that, all this cream and everything is available these days. So this is how people, you know, interact in the society. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the husbands are libas for their wives and the wives are libas for their husbands, it is this third dimension that He's talking about. Of course, zenith, yes. A person gets his honor and his zenith from the spouse. Both ways. But the main point of this example, the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using of libas, is the issue of concealing the defects, not on a physical level. You know, people are not masoom, they have weaknesses. And this is where we are told that when problems start in family life, neither should the husband immediately, you know, call up the parents and the siblings and say, "Oh, she has done this and that." Nor should the wife do that. Don't expose one another in that way. Be libas for one another. Conceal the weaknesses of one another. And, you know, be like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pride in calling Himself. He says, He is Sattarul Uyub. He conceals our defects and sins and mistakes that we make. If these things were exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody will be able to maintain his or her dignity in the society. He is Sattarul Uyub. In the husband and wife relationship, this becomes very important. That at least, you know, they don't start exposing themselves to the whole extended family there and the community. If there are issues, yes, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar is there. If the husband thinks that there is a weakness in the wife, he should exercise Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar according to the rulings. But maintain her dignity and izzat. And the wife, if she considers there is a weakness in the husband, again the issue of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar applies to her also regarding the husband. But this has to be done without shattering the respect of one another, even to those who are close in the family. You know, these days we have all this new technology for communication, and in a way, you know, of course it is a blessing, but it also becomes bala. You know, mobile phones, emails, texting, Facebook, you know, Twitter, WhatsApps and whatnot. You can just go on and on. During the old days, when problems would start, sometimes even, let me use the example of the wife. She becomes very upset. She'll think about it, sit down, write a letter to the father or the brother, put it in the mailing system. Maybe it will take a few days before it reaches there, or maybe a few weeks. By the time the letter reaches there, the problem is resolved here. The problem is resolved, but the parents are under distress there. And so that lack of communication, immediate, fast communication, was in a way a blessing. Nowadays, immediately something happens. Besides the 911, that's another bala. We don't even talk about it. Email, texting, this and that, immediately, the issue goes out. And when it goes out, even if it was a small issue which could be managed and resolved, it becomes more complicated. Because more players get involved in that. I am not saying that sometimes there would be need for that. No. But when people live together, in Urdu we say, jahan bartan hote hain, wahan awaaz hoti hai. When you put the dishes wherever, there will be friction there. The noise will be there. So the noise will be there sometimes. As long as it is manageable. And it has to be contained. And this is the whole issue of hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. Of course, we don't see that when it comes to any violence, of course. That is not to be accepted at all. Even the laws of the land don't allow that. And so that's where there is a need for immediate, connection with somebody who is sympathetic, who can actually resolve the problem. Because still we believe that even there, divorce would be the last resort. And so we had to look at these ayat of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about real issues of life. The structure of the family, the roles and duties that the members of the family have, and even the expectations which is there from one another. And everything, as long as the principles of Rahmah and Mawadda is there, things will work out and there will be sukoon and peace and tranquility in the family life. Salawat Muhammad Iqbal. Let me just end with one hadith from the fourth Imam again. The way he dealt with those who work for him. And this is an example for us about how we deal with others in the family also. Those days, having slaves was very common. And in the Islamic society, slaves were actually considered to be part of the family. If you look at the rules about providing for the family, where the wife and the children would be there and the parents, also the slaves would be included in the wajib nafaqa. So they are considered to be part of the family in that way. An imam had this, the attitude or the way he would even behave with his workers. He says, once I called him, one of the slaves by name, he didn't answer. Second time I called him, he didn't answer. Teesri baar jo hai, imam uske paas gaye. Aur imam ne ab jo baat ki usse, ghusse se nahi. Hum log to ye keh rahe hain ki tumhara dimag kharab ho gaya. Do baar awaaz di, jawab nahi diya. Hai? Kya samajhte ho apne ko? Nahi, imam ne kaha, ya bunayya. Wo ghulam hai, lekin address dekhein, ya bunayya. اے میرے بچے اما سمعت صوتی کیا تم نے میری آواز نہیں سنی دو بار ہم نے تم کو پکارا تو وہ کہتا ہے کہ ہاں ہم نے سنا ابھی تو اور غصہ آنا چاہیے کہ بھئی سنا پھر بھی جواب نہیں دیا تو پھر امام نے کہا لما لم تجبنی کیوں پھر تم نے جواب نہیں دیا وہ کہتا ہے کہ ہمیں معلوم تھا آپ غصہ نہیں کریں گے benevolent leader. कि आप गुस्सा नहीं करेंगे लिहाजा हमने जवाब नहीं दिया, आते हम जरा स्लो आते. इमाम का रिएक्शन क्या था? इमाम निकलते हैं बाहर और जुमला जबान पर था, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाहिल्लज़ी जअला ममलूकी यअमुनी, खुदावंदा तेरा शुक्र है कि मेरे गुलाम मुझसे डरते नहीं हैं. इसलिए कि इमाम कहते हैं कि हम अपने को मालिक समझते हैं उनके, लेकिन मुझे मालूम है तू मेरा मालिक है. जो रवैया मेरा इनके साथ रहेगा वही बर्ताव तेरा हमारे साथ रहेगा. तो ये जो बात होती है, ठीक है आप लीडर हैं जो भी हैं फैमिली में, लेकिन रवैया होना चाहिए रहमत की बुनियाद पर, मेहरबानी की बुनियाद पर. और यही कमाल था इमाम का. इमाम ने सिर्फ जो दुआएं छोड़ी हैं, दुआएं मकारिमुल अखलाक, ये सिर्फ एक लिटरेचर नहीं छोड़ा था. इमाम की ज़िंदगी को आप देखें, अक्सर लोग समझते हैं कि शायद इमाम जो है उतना जहाद में एक्टिव नहीं थे. नहीं, इमाम ने भी जहाद लड़ी है, लेकिन ज़बान से नहीं, तलवार से नहीं. इमाम की अखलाक, इमाम की जहाद अपने अखलाक के ज़रिए थी. और इसलिए तारीख़ में आप देखें जिस तरह से इमाम को याद किया जाता है, वह है ज़ैनुल आबिदीन, सैयदुस साजिदीन. बनु हाशिम में हुसैन के बाद सबसे आला मर्तबा मुखालिफीन ने भी इमाम ज़ैनुल आबिदीन अलैहि सलाम को दिया है. सलावात पढ़ने एक बार आओ. बस आखिर में फरजदक का जो वाकया है उसके एक सिर्फ इशारा करके महफिल को ख़त्म करना चाहेंगे कि हिशाम बिन अब्दुल मलिक क्राउन प्रिंस था, अभी खलीफा नहीं बना था. मक्का पहुंचा शाम से अपने सीरियन सोल्जर्स के साथ. गालिबन उमरा या हज का ज़माना था. मस्जिदुल हराम में गया, इतनी भीड़ थी वो तवाफ़ नहीं कर सका. तो ये लोग साइड में बैठ गए कि जब मजमा कम होगा तो फिर जाके तवाफ़ करेंगे. थोड़ी देर में ये लोग देखते हैं कि कोई शख्स आ रहा है मस्जिद के गेट से अंदर, और उस शख्स को देखते हुए मजमा खुद ब खुद जो है जगह दे देता. तो वो सीरिया के जो सिपाही आए थे वो तो नहीं जानते थे कौन है. तो उन्होंने पूछा कि भाई हमारे ये शहज़ादा को तो किसी ने जगह नहीं दी, आखिर ये कौन है, मन हाज़ा. तो हिशाम जो है हसद में वो कहता है कि हमें नहीं मालूम है कौन है. वो जानता था कौन है, लेकिन शामियों के सामने ज़रा शर्मिंदगी महसूस हुई. फरजदक वहाँ उस मजमे में उनके साथ था, मशहूर शायर था उमवी दौर का, और बातिनी तौर पे शिया थे, ज़ाहिर नहीं करते थे. लेकिन उस वक्त जब हिशाम बिन अब्दुल मलिक ने ये कहा कि मन हाज़ा, ये कौन है, तो फरजदक कुडंट टेक इट एनीमोर. और जोश विला में उसके ज़बान पे जो अशार आए हैं एक्सटेम्पोर, वो अभी भी अरबिक लिटरेचर में एक एग्ज़ाम्पल और नमूना माना जाता है. सब लोग इसको पढ़ते हैं. नसीम अमरोही मरहूम ने, जो इस ज़माने के उर्दू शायर गुजरे हैं, उन्होंने उन्हीं अशार को उर्दू में नज़म किया है. बहुत ही करीब है माना के एतबार से, उसी पर हम ख़त्म करना चाहेंगे, बस तीन चार शेर पे, कि जहाँ शुरू में है हाज़ा अल्लज़ी तअरिफ़ुहु अल-हिल्लु वल-हरम, जहाँ ये फरमाते हैं कि ये वो है जिसकी तरीक़त से है वाकिफ़ बतहा. ये वो बंदा है कि जिसके फुटस्टेप से भी, आवाज़ से जो है ख़ुद मक्का जो है जानता है ये कौन है. तुम जो ये कहते हो नहीं जानते हो. हरम व काबा हैं आरिफ़ तो शनासा है दुनिया. न सिर्फ ये हरम है मक्का, बल्कि मक्का के बाहर भी जो हिल कहते हैं हम, पूरी दुनिया जो है इससे शनासा है, आरिफ जानती है. था जो सब खल्क से बेहतर, ये पिसर है उसका, ये उसका नवास, ये फर्जंद है जो पूरी कायनात में सबसे बेहतर था. पाक भी, साफ भी, मशहूर भी, अहल तक्वा. फिर इशारा करता है हिशाम की तरफ, क्या मुजिर है تیرا کہنا کہ یہ کون بشر ہے, یعنی تم نے جو کہا ہے نا کہ یہ کون ہے, سوال کرنے والی پوچھا تھا من ہذا, یہ تمہارا جو جاہلانہ انداز ہے doesn't impact his image, تو نہ پہچانے مگر جانتی ہے دنیا بھر. اور اس کے بعد فرماتے ہیں بوسہ دینے کو وہ آیا ہے جو ہو جائے خبر. نارملی حاجی جب آتے ہیں حجر اسود کو بوسہ دیتے ہیں, تو اب یہ فرزدہ کہہ رہا ہے کہ بوسہ دینے کو وہ آیا ہے جو ہو جائے خبر, یعنی اگر حجر اسود کو خبر ہو جائے کہ یہ بوسہ دینے آیا ہے, چوم لے نقش قدم پاؤں پہ اسود گر کر. حجر اسود خود جو ہے گر کے ان کے نقش پا کا بوسہ لے گا. صلوات پڑھنا ایک بار. آخری شعر, کچھ نہیں دور کے وہ اس کے جو پاس آئے. کوئی تعجب کی بات نہیں ہے کہ اگر زین العابدین حجر اسود کے قریب آئیں, دیکھ کر دست مبارک پہ لپٹ جائے. بجائے امام بوسہ لینے کے حجر اسود جو ہے ان کے ہاتھ کا بوسہ لے لیں. صلوات پڑھ دیں ایک بار. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے خداوندہ اس قلعے بات قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوندہ کمیونٹی میں جہاں جہاں جو حضرات اپنی فیملی لائف میں پریشانیوں میں اور چیلنجز میں گرفتار ہیں, خداوندہ ان تین اہم شخصیتوں کا واسطہ جو کربلا کے در حقیقت اہم کردار انہوں نے ادا کیا ہے, خداوندہ ان کے صدقے ان کے فیملی کے مسائل کو حل فرما, ان کی زندگی میں سکون اور پیس اینڈ ٹرانکولیٹی پیدا کر, امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.